This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu,
Arvind Braj.
We are talking about crowdsourcing. What would be the biggest decision that you would allow to be crowdsourced? Some lady over in the US, Jen Glantz, has decided that she would let every aspect of her wedding be planned by total strangers, from the dress to the budget. And we thought, well, that's an interesting story. What would we be willing to allow people to decide for us? Both me and Arv said it could be a choice of car at some point. Christine suggested the colour of her hair. Frida was
spectacles.
Spectacles. And at some point, the wedding, kind of.
No.
No. But we're asking you for some feedback. Do we have any more new responses during the break?
This is just a follow on to Ro and his banana leaf. But then he talked about crowdfunding, not crowdsourcing. And then he ended off with saying, "I swear, I've learned more from Arv than I did in my 18 years being educated." What nonsense is this, Ro?
You're lucky I'm not talking.
I have to disagree with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's lucky I'm not talking about math. Because that's not something you want to learn from me.
No?
That's something I never learned.
Right. So. I have an interesting question to ask you off air, actually, regarding mathematics. Let us move on to our final topic of the day. Companies are using AI to teach EQ. Is this a good thing, Frida?
Apparently not, according to Diana Wu David, who wrote the book Future Proof: Reinventing Work in the Age of Acceleration. So there are going to be some unintended consequences, right? They talk about soft skills, the new career makers, and a host of new technology enablers have cropped up to help identify and optimize these skills for us. And when I think about soft skills and how AI can help, I mean, we had that story recently about, you know, some music, right? Someone coming in, looking at your face and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it says as your capacity for empathy and skill deploying, it also waxes and wanes with your own physical and mental state. So no VR program can cure the hangries when you haven't eaten. Big data tells that even judges make softer decisions after lunch.
Yes.
Right? With that in mind, the most effective technological enabler of empathy may in fact be Uber Eats. Or in our case, Grab Eats, right? So while it can be useful, many employees feel that they already share so much of work already. The idea of sharing additional personal data about their health, behavior, matchmaking preferences is an invasion of privacy. A couple of things here, they say how AI is being used, one of which is this whole idea called nudging. The behavioral science theory of nudging uses positive reinforcement to influence our actions. Imagine giving a dog a biscuit for sitting still. Imagine, you know, Pavlov, yeah? So one example of a company that uses technology to enable organizations to develop thousands of people into high-performing leaders is Potential Life, which is founded by ex-McKinsey consultant, Harvard University's leading professor of positive psychology. So what he did was working with clients such as World Vision and Barclays. The consultancy sets up programs to help individuals optimize and measure strength, health absorption, relationships, and focus. So it's an app to remind employees to take action to support these goals, track them, aggregate them across the company. However, when they did a survey, informal survey among the people they work with, to getting people to define their health and relationship goals without the participation of the HR department. Most of them, and this is true, I think, like even when we talk amongst ourselves, when you consider impacts on insurance or privacy for individuals with health issues, we don't really want to share that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing, you know. So you can try to prompt people to be health, but you don't know whether how much information you want to give. The other thing is AI-based matchmaking. This is where they're trying to team people who could possibly work well together. There's a theory behind staffing teammates who are algorithmically appropriate, and it could also be a good option for teams that need to form for short periods. So Airbnb, for example, uses AI to pair people into mini tribes in the group gatherings. Global education company iTutor uses eye tracking to sense engagement of students so as to match them over time with specific types of teachers and other compatible students for group work. And they found that some students just respond better to specific teachers. We don't need AI
to
tell
know
us that. Yeah, anyway. And it says that there is a distrust in letting machines make decisions around human relationships. If the algorithm has selected a dream team, but you find it dysfunctional, how do they resolve the issue in the way that makes both the humans and the algorithms happy? So what AI-based matchmaking doesn't do is take diversity and inclusion into consideration. So, you know, if you leave talent acquisition to staff teams based on dimensions of compatibility, you know, they are going going to be some errors, because there are a couple of things, right? I mean, you can maybe we'll work together, but there are going to be other deeper issues as well. So when you talk about working on a global scale, right, the skills may be there, but you learning to work well with other people still requires that human interaction. Mm. So that's what it says. The other thing that is used for is virtual reality. NGOs are using VR's immersive storytelling powers to inspire empathy and behavioral change. And so Stanford's virtual human interaction lab tests indicate that they will save more if we experience ourselves as elderly. But what happens is when we start doing these things, we're like, oh, it's not too bad. We actually lose out on the empathy side of things. I think when we talk about you really can't profile people. Cambridge Analytica's social media profiler and voters shows us how ad targeting without awareness can be manipulated. So it says that although many HR professionals conclude that technology is a nice enabler of the new ways of training, but at the moment it's best focused on the very specific recruitment and training needs with clear boundaries. The best way still, I think, for soft skills is to invest less in technology and more in ourselves. So that was the conclusion. And I can see how, I don't think we've reached a stage where, you know, the emotional aspect, diversity, you can't sort of put that down yet until you have that physical interaction, right? Mm. I mean, we may work well together, team, but there are going to be little nuances where you came from, where I came from, that technology might not be able to decipher.
To detect, yeah. We spoke about using tech to upkeep your friendships and relationships.
Yes,
this ties in nicely. I think it's like a nice sequel to that talks that we spoke about. You know, using tech to see if you can keep your friendships or keep your relationships, and for tech to remind you that you haven't met this person and in this long, and you know this is what this person likes and this is what you should remember about them. But then we also touched on, it's the same thing, you know, like exactly what you said, like people have these glitches and nuances, and
right.
You know, we keep changing from time to time, and that's what makes these things human. Using so much tech to group people or to match people with other people and see, you know, tell someone that they can work nicely with someone else just because they are in that same bracket or that same you know, that within that same graph takes away the human element of it.
Right.
And I don't think you learn. I mean, if you keep putting yourself in the same groups of people or the same
kind of people, right?
And then how do you grow in a company?
Well, not just in company, but in life. The whole point is to challenge yourself and put yourself amongst a group of people arguably who are better than you, and that's how you learn, and that's how you get challenged and able to move forward. If you, like you say, if you're in that same group of people who all think the same and all decide the same, nothing changes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, even there's a reason people say opposites attract. You know, it's because we gravitate towards people who are so different from us at times, but can sync with us on the same wavelength and speak to us in a way that we understand, but we might not agree with. So it sort of like expands your mindset. Not everybody likes it, obviously. Some people don't like being told that they're wrong. But I think in general, especially in the workplace, you should be able to take that criticism at least.
Okay, so like in this story, you know, like they talk about the matchmaking people and everything. Well, they learn that from Tinder.
Well, yeah.
You
yeah,
see?
Yeah,
so, yeah. And so does that work?
It depends. But Tinder's for a very different thing, especially Tinder, okay. I think.
Or whatever, these dating
online dating apps. Yeah,
yeah.
To a certain extent, I think. But that also goes into like what you tell the app. Like, do you want to meet someone who you are, you know, who's alike? Or do you want to meet someone who can help you grow or help see things in a different way?
And ultimately, you still have to meet the person.
Yeah.
Time for us to wrap up, ladies and gents, before we get all Tinderized. Thanks for all of your contributions. Of course, the discussion of today was whether or not you would crowdsource some of your biggest decisions. This is because of the story we came across about the bride-to-be who's asking strangers on the internet to plan every aspect of her wedding, from the dress to the budget. Her name is Jen Glantz. If you are interested, you can head over to her website. It's called Finally the Bride. That's what we started off with. We then moved over to...
Then we spoke about the problem with recycled plastic and how using it in the fashion industry might not be the solution that everyone was looking for.
And we ended off with how more companies are using AI to teach EQ, but there are some ways it can go wrong.
Don't go anywhere. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. The Breakfast Grill spoke with Ifoso Ojomo, the Global Prosperity Lead at the Clayton Christensen Institute for Disruptive Innovation, to discuss the prosperity paradox, where they approach economic development as an innovation rather than a development problem. Ojomo argues that instead of protecting companies, we should be making it easier to compete. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frida Liu, Arvin Yuvaraj, and of course our producer Christian Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.